It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumman.
And greetings, salutations, everybody. My name is Stephen Julian. I'm your slightly annoying co-host for the wonderful journey that is known as Product Genius with Tiffany Krumman. Hey, where do big businesses and small businesses collide? Where does the small-based, product-based, entrepreneur-based business collide with the big, giant companies that are also putting products? We kind of wrap up our mini-series with the wonderful Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start. But before we get to him, it's time for me to welcome Tiffany Krumman to the show.
Thank you.
I'm not welcoming you to the show. It is your show. Thank you. Yeah.
I like this topic. I don't think it's one that's talked about very often. Yeah. And I don't think people really realize how much they do collide.
Absolutely.
So Noah's going to be able to shed some light on how they collide and how to best collide with a big company.
And I would encourage anyone listening to this show, if you have not already listened to some of the past shows, first of all, you can listen to this one standalone and do it first, so keep listening. But I'd strongly encourage you to go back and, of course, check out all our shows, but especially the Product Quick Start with Noah McNeely. We've been doing this for a while. Yeah. I mean, he brought this idea and we've really explored it and dug into it and looked at all the different differences between how big companies bring products to market and how small entrepreneur inventor based companies bring products to market. And it's been a great topic and it's led to a lot of different rabbit holes. And it even led to an off-air discussion of baseball versus football and even a little bit of politics. But we're not going to do that for the show. Instead, but during those discussions, we respected each other. We listened to each other's viewpoint. And then we said, you know what our listeners really want to hear about? And that's about developing their product-based business. So Noah McNeely with Product Quick Start, welcome back to the studio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what a great part of this topic, where the big and small collide. Let me just kind of get out of the way and you paint a picture for us. What do you mean when you say they collide? What are we talking about?
Well, we've been talking a lot in the last few months about the differences between entrepreneur inventors and big companies and how they approach things. But it occurred to me as we were planning for this show that there are areas where these two get together, and that is really more related to the long-term strategy of the inventor entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And in my world, I kind of categorize those into three big areas, though there's lots of gray area between them. The first area doesn't really collide much with big companies. And that's the, I want to build it, I want to make it, I want to sell it, I want to grow my company.
Very, do it yourself, right?
Do it entirely yourself. I don't want anything to do with big companies. I want to maybe be a big company someday, but so that one we're probably not going to talk about as much because there's not a collision there. On the other end, there is the, I want to license this out. I don't ever want to make one. I want to sell the IP. I want to license the IP. I don't really want to have anything to do with designing this or designing perhaps, but really getting it manufactured. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously an area where we're going to collide with big companies in building that deal. And then there's this third area in the middle, which I call the exit event strategy. But again, there's nuances between all these.
Well, yeah, and there's almost two versions of that center one, too, with licensing. I went the other route. I did build the product. I did manufacture it. I did distribute it, but then I licensed. So I guess it depends on whether or not they want to do that right off the bat or later down the road.
While they're in that, I'm going to do it myself. They definitely, there's not a lot of collision, if any at all, with the big businesses. So, and really kind of what you're almost talking about is where's your exit point? It's kind of beginning with the end in mind to some extent. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. From my perspective, it's important for me to understand the entrepreneur's end goals as much as I can. Now, oftentimes those end goals may change as you work through. So I'm not saying that before you start anything, you have to know exactly what you're going to be doing.
You'd almost prefer they don't in some situations, right? They dream a little too big and I'm going to license this to so-and-so and you go, well, let's grow it first.
Well, I think it's good to have some flexibility in your goals. I think it's perfectly fine to think about, okay, ultimately I'm going to license this. That's where I want to get to. And then I can sit down with you and help you strategize. Does that make sense from the standpoint that I can help you with? Mm-hmm. And how do we get you there?
We've never talked about you being a part of that conversation. I mean, how do you steer people at that stage? Are you, you're not manufacturing differently, are you? Or are you?
Sometimes you are.
Or are you?
Stop badgering the witness.
Aren't you? Come on.
Well, sometimes you are. So let's say, you know, if you are going down the route of, yeah, I'm probably going to build this myself and grow my own company, then we're going to look at that a certain way. And I know I said I wouldn't talk about this much, but I think I have to get to the others. So in that case, as an inventor entrepreneur, most of the time, you're not independently wealthy. You know, some people are, and I've certainly worked with some of those people, and they stroke their checks very quickly, which is wonderful. But most of my clients are not independently wealthy. So we have to look at the strategy of, is this something you could even pull off by yourself? Mm-hmm. And if so, my strategy is often, let's get you to a minimum viable product. Let's get you on the market as inexpensively and efficiently as we can. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a lot of discussions about, well, are you sure you absolutely have to have this feature, because mm-hmm. that's going to double the price of your product, right, or that's going to mean a lot longer development cycle to get your product to the market. So sometimes we'll strategize in that way around, if your goal is to get this on the market, be a company, sell it, let's get you there. But I need to understand that going in.
If their goal is to license, take us down that path. What does that look like?
So on the other end of the spectrum, let's say you're coming in. I actually talked to a gentleman a couple weeks ago. He has this great idea for a medical device, but he understands that mm-hmm. developing a medical device is way beyond his capability as an inventor entrepreneur, because there's going to be years of FDA process. There's going to be clinical trials. There's going to be all these sorts of things, which are hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of dollars before you even make or develop the product. So he's like, I really want to go down the path of getting this to the point that I can license it to a Baxter or a Becton Dickinson mm-hmm. or one of these other companies. So in that strategy, it's not so much about developing the minimum viable product with that client. It's about helping them develop a prototype and a presentation that helps communicate their intellectual property in the most positive way to those companies, really helping to equip them with presentation material.
When in that licensing scenario, what are some of the biggest mistakes that, you know, you talk about this person who's come forward with a medical product. What are some of the mistakes people are making when they're thinking, I want a license? I'm assuming, based on our past conversations, it can be as obnoxious. Well, obnoxious isn't the right word. It can be as
it could be
dramatic as, I got a napkin sketch and I'm going to get somebody to license it. What are some of the mistakes people make?
Yeah. So I would say that having unrealistic expectations mm-hmm. is one of those. You know, there are people out there that think that, well, I've got this great idea. Someone's just going to pay me $1 million for mm-hmm. it and I don't have to put any work into it. Those people are actually kind of rare, but they are out there.
Yeah.
So that's one mistake, is unrealistic expectations, and that's an extreme example. But there can be less extreme examples. There's the, well, I expect I'll get a 10% royalty on this, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to do the work to actually understand the business case exactly. behind it. So that's a mistake as well.
Money. They've spent a lot of money
yes.
going into the first stages of, they want to license the product, but they've basically spent hundreds of thousands of dollars already developing it. And that's, you're never going to get right. that money back.
Why not?
In the licensing agreement. Because like you said, you're either preparing this design to pitch it to someone to license, as you should be, and you haven't put a bunch of money into manufacturing or development, that you're not going to get back. You're not going to recoup right. that in a licensing
so
deal,
in that
at
scenario,
least not in the beginning.
In that scenario, if they've put a lot of money in and they're putting it into, and like you said, manufacturing, not mm-hmm. putting money into the prototype or the presentation.
Right.
So they really need to continue down that road of do it yourself a little bit.
They need to come to terms with the fact that they might not recoup that money,
okay.
at yeah. least not in the beginning. They're not going to get it back for quite some time.
So I run into that scenario in a couple of different ways. Sometimes people start out on strategy one, I'm going to build mm-hmm. it myself and build this company. And then they reach a point where they realize they've bitten off way more than they can chew, because either they didn't understand or something changed in their life, or they didn't do their homework to understand what it's going to take to actually build that company.
Right.
So in those cases, there are people that I run into that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to prepare a product for manufacturing and actually building out their supply chain, and now they want to go the licensing route. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you're right. That's money we can't recoup. That's under the bridge, water under the bridge. It's a sunk cost at this point. Mm-hmm. So now we have to focus on how do we get you the best deal possible. The other case is sometimes people don't understand what is really needed for a licensing conversation. And it does vary depending on the product and what you're trying to license and who you're trying to license it to. But you don't necessarily have to take anything all the way to a design for manufacture level. In many cases, we can help you take it to a really nice computer-generated presentation, mm-hmm. animations, and et cetera, and probably a proof of concept prototype, which might be 3D printed. It might be a little bit more sophisticated than that, but it's not optimized for manufacture. It's really developed just to show the concept in your presentation. And the difference could be an order of magnitude of development time there.
What I really love about that route is that you're not designing something for a major company that may completely redesign it. I mean, they may take your concept and have to change it 10 times before they actually get it to the final version.
That's right. And you asked about mistakes. So another mistake I see people make is they pursue the creation of intellectual property of a product that there's really only one potential licensing target for. You know, they put all this time and effort and energy into it, and it's like, well, what if that company says no? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's important to kind of back up a step. You know, let's make the solution a little bit more general so that it's not just for ABC Corporation. Let's look at making a solution that could be for ABC Corporation and five of their competitors, because ABC Corporation may say no for a lot of different reasons. It could simply be that the guy you meet with had a bad hair day that day. You may never know why. The answer is no. So you need to have actually a list of potential targets. It's a numbers game to an extent there. You can't just have one target. I'm sure when you did Ava, you talked to a lot of different groups. It wasn't just, I guess that first one said no.
I made that mistake. Away. I stayed in conversations with Disney for a year and a half, holding on hope of, they keep calling me back for this and we're having this meeting and never happened. So I should have been in that period of time reaching out to six different companies.
We were doing this show while that was going on to some extent, weren't we?
Maybe. Yeah, the first stages of this show. Yeah.
So that's not going to pick on you, but that's actually a third mistake I see people make sometimes is that...
well done, Tiffany.
well, you've got to make sure that the scope of what you're wanting to license is a match for who you're wanting to license it to. So in that case... You know, Ava's a great product, but is it really going to move the dial for Disney much?
Right.
Is it really going to be something they want to? Yeah, it's cool. They'd love to put probably Dumbo on it or whatever, but is it
that
really
was
something?
The thing. They have their own characters, and it was like something I didn't really see in the beginning.
Yeah. Are they really going to want to jump through hoops to make it happen? Nowadays, the Disney, with having just laid off 40,000 people, might be a different story. Yeah. They might be looking for revenue anywhere, but, so in a case like that, sometimes it's not the leader in the market that you want to license to. Sometimes it's the third or fourth tier player, because they're the ones that want to grow. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that aren't on top of the mountain yet. And you can help them get there.
He's describing my licensing deal.
So she should have licensed with Hanna-Barbera instead of Disney. Is that?
Well, no, that's exactly what happened with Baby Delight. They were more hungry for it. They wanted to design it the way that I wanted it designed, which was key. That's exactly what happened. Start with the biggest, and then ended up exactly where I was supposed to be.
So I think that the broader moral of that, or the broader story there, is doing your research on the business plan, how it would interact with the licensing company or the company that licenses it from you. Is it a mesh with what you can learn about their business plan? So are they distributing directly to retailers, or are they just a brand owner? Mm-hmm. If they're just a brand owner, then you might be better off talking to whoever is making product under their brand.
We should probably take like 10 steps back on that, because I've had people come to me with products that were very specific. One was a pregnancy test, a form of a pregnancy test. And that product has to be pitched only to companies who make pregnancy test already, you know? And so people, or you think would you wouldn't have to say that, but
well,
you
caveat B is, or to a company that is in tangential spaces that wants to get into that space. You wouldn't pitch it to Hasbro.
Yeah, right. Well, and there are people that pitch it to everyone, to every company they can get, you know, the ear of, and they don't realize that they're having to go after a very specific market.
Then there are companies that advertise on late night that say, send us $10,000 and we'll pitch it to everyone for you.
Yeah.
We'll actually send out a plague.
Please don't call those people. Instead, you need to talk to Noah McNeely, Product Quick Start. We are talking about where the big and small aspect of businesses collide, and specifically we're kind of talking about doing it yourself, licensing deals, and then let's go to the third scenario you talked about, which was kind of an exit event or a hybrid of the two. Unpack that third column.
So I call this actually column two because I view it in the middle. I view column one as the I'm going to build it, column three is I'm going to license it, sell it, never build anything. So column two is the exit event. So that strategy is a case where your goal is to build the company to the point where you're not necessarily licensing out the technology. You're actually selling the entire company. Now, there are lots of different flavors of that deal. It can be a hybrid and et cetera. But the goal is not so much to say, hey, here's my patent and presentation. Will you pay me a small royalty on this? The goal is to say, hey, I've got this company. I've built this brand. I've got these products and et cetera. Do you want to buy this company and incorporate it into what your company already is doing? Now, how does that affect what I do? And strategy-wise is that in that case, we have to do a lot of what we do in column one of get that product built, developed, and on the market so you can start growing market share. But you may not ever have to get to the point where you're wildly profitable with that. You have to get to the point where you're taking risk out for that company that you're going to sell to ultimately, in the sense that, yeah, maybe you only sell your product in the Southeast in one retailer. But if you're selling well, you become a much more attractive conversation than someone who hasn't sold anything.
Mm-hmm. Or blew it out to every store in the country and didn't do it at the right.
That's right. So if you can get it to the point where you can prove this can be a successful business, especially when a bigger company that has more advantages of scale comes in and takes over, that can be a very good conversation. The other thing that we would tend to do different with companies that are trying to get to, or entrepreneurs that are trying to get to an exit event, is we would develop certainly that minimum viable product, that early viable product, get it on the market. But in the meantime, we would also develop a number of other products in your roadmap. Even though we may never produce those, you would at least be able to say on your website, coming soon, the Persian cat petter volume 2, or whatever it is, whatever your, I was trying to think of something clever that came out as Persian cat petter. So
if you're working with a brand and they have a product and that's their end goal, like you said, to one day be acquired, you are encouraging them to go ahead and come out with other line extensions, because you know that they're not going to be acquired as a single product.
Well, I think it is beneficial to at least maybe not come out with, in the sense of launching, developing them all the way for manufacturing, but at least you can start to show some images of them and say coming soon, the whatever version 2, the whatever Mark 3, or the, you know, that actually builds credence, I think, to your company is having other IP and development in your roadmap. And that makes you a more attractive target.
But unlike in the licensing scenario where they might only need a proof of concept that's a 3D, you are saying that in this column two, at least something has had to, the proof of concept is actually in the marketplace more often than not.
Yes.
When it creates some kind of exiting event.
Well, your first product is in the market.
Correct. That's what I was
saying. I would typically say that your first product is in the market. So you've proven the general concept, but then you've got this backlog of other products that, you know, maybe the next one's going to add a rechargeable battery. And then the one after that, oh, well, now it's going to be Wi-Fi enabled, so that they can see, okay, the basic technology works. It's an automatic machine that pets my Persian cats. And now version 2 is going to let me do that with Wi-Fi from wherever I'm at in the world.
And in this scenario, and Tiffany, feel free to jump in on this if you want, but in this scenario, when you're going for licensing almost from the beginning, there are companies that they're just specifically looking for licensing. But it almost sounds like in this exit event type scenario, there might be a specific type of big company that isn't looking for licensing, but is looking for this scenario. Mm-hmm. Is that, am I getting that right? They're almost different players in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In many cases, they would be different players. And you know, every scenario is unique and you have to strategize every scenario. So there are certain types of ideas that the exit event strategy is probably not appropriate for. Mm-hmm. There are others where a licensing strategy is probably not appropriate. And there are some where the only thing you're ever going to be able to do is build it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it just sort of depends. You know, one area, and I apologize if I am rambling around.
No.
Not at all. You're rocking it. Go
one,
for it.
One area we didn't talk to is sort of column 1.5. And that's...
You got me on that. So I almost did a spit take in the studio. Well, 1.5.
You know how engineers are. 1.573. So let's go back. I gave an example earlier about someone I've been talking to that has this medical device idea. And they're actually, you know, they're a doctor. They know what they're doing. They know it's going to be a good idea. But what if they came in and said, I absolutely want to build this myself. I don't want to license it. Or for whatever reason, it's not going to be a fit for a company that could license it. Mm-hmm. But we've still got that FDA we have to go through. We've still got that, you know, the clinical trials. We've still got hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of dollars that we're going to have to spend to get this across the finish line. And I just don't have that kind of money. So what do we do there? Then we do a strategy, which is really about investors. And that actually starts to look a lot like column 3 in the sense that we're still developing a presentation, still developing proof of concept models, still going out and giving those presentations. But instead of presenting to a company that might be licensing your product, you're presenting to people that you can convince that, you know, put $50,000 into this now and it could grow once we actually get it to the point where we can go out and have those licensing meetings in the future, or we actually get it on the market and sell it, and we grow that company and we become an exit event target.
I'm blown away right now because we've known Noah for how many years, and I never knew that he really did that part of the process. I didn't know that you were willing to do that with inventors. I didn't know that you did that.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that. But
meaning, I didn't know
invest
that
in their product.
I don't make the pitches.
Okay, you do not.
I help them develop.
I help strategize about which path makes the most sense based on the product.
Okay. Dang, Noah, you're doing it all.
If you want me to go to the pitch with you, I'll go, but you probably don't want me to be the one pitching it because, you know, at some point the engineer takes over and I'll just start, you know, giving numbers.
So, and it's not necessarily that you, and so not only are you not giving the pitch, you're also not saying, hey, I'm the one that'll help you develop the pitch, but you can help them strategize the pitch might be or what needs to be involved or how we get to that point.
Well, a couple things. Help strategize, help create the data necessary for the pitch. For example, how much is it really going to cost to tool up and make mm-hmm. this thing? That's information we can help them develop.
And an investor needs to know that.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So really, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
There's more.
Oh, wait. Yet there's more.
And also build the materials that would be useful in the pitch. For example, that those renderings of what it would look like ultimately, or that animation of how it works, or even that proof of concept prototype showing how it works.
And what I'm thinking is, so Tiffany, you said, you know, I didn't even know he did this. So really what I'm hearing is all the things that Product Quick Start and Noah bring to the table of helping people develop that product, mm-hmm. get that product from wherever it is to wherever it needs to go. This is part of that process, mm-hmm. saying all the work we're going to do, I'm not going to create the pitch for you, but I'll help you strategize about how to take what I'm doing and move it into what you need to do next. If that is a pitch or if that is investors or whatever, you know, whatever the other columns.
So instead of the client coming in and going, oh, this is going to involve $250,000 and this, and then walking away and giving up, he's taking them to that next step. Here's what you do to approach an investor.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line is I want your business to be successful. So, you know, there are plenty of people out there. You just come in and say, hey, can you engineer a new, a new type of syringe for me? Sure, we can engineer that. I can engineer that for you, but there's not a lot of value in you paying me a few thousand dollars to develop a new syringe for you if you don't have the $250,000 necessary to get that through FDA and et cetera. So we need to strategize that together early on so that I understand, well, why do you want me to engineer this? Are you going to try to license it? Are you looking for investors? Do you have $1 million to invest in this yourself? And then let's work out the business strategy, not just the, you know, I can build anything in CAD. That doesn't mean I should. I can prototype a lot of things. That doesn't mean I should. We have to do what's right for your business.
And I can take your product and pitch it to 10,000 companies. That doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, that's essentially spam to a bunch of companies.
Right. Yep. Okay. So so here's the tease at the end of the show. I'm not sure if we covered everything.
We never do.
We never do.
No, this is a great topic.
I'm not sure if we've covered enough. So we're going to leave that to off-air discussion. We're gonna leave that to our listeners and subscribers to the show to go, that was great, but what about ...
And, yeah. I mean, we'd love to have you guys go to the Facebook mm-hmm. group and give us your questions.
There you go.
Or my LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. So.
All right. So definitely. Let's start with you, Noah.
Or just show up at Tiffany's house.
Show up at Product Quick Starts. Hey, I had a question about the show.
Noah wouldn't mind that.
Actually, if he wasn't too terribly busy. Well, and actually, anybody can have a conversation with you. They go to?
Just go to our website, productquickstart.com.
And there's a contact us form.
There's a contact us form. There's also a self-assessment form. If you could fill that out, that will be helpful because that will help us be better prepared to talk to you. You know, if you want to go to the contact us form and just say, call me, I'll do it, but it might take me a few days.
Mm-hmm. And be thinking, if you've heard this episode, be thinking about which one of those categories you think you fall into. So when you reach out to Noah, you know where you're headed with your product. Right.
So Product Quick Start can really help people who know where they're at now and help them figure out where they want to go and kind of help them on that journey. If they show up with a napkin sketch and you can help them, but there might be some other, and that's past episodes. All that kind of stuff.
They can have the napkin sketch. They just got to have an idea where they're going after.
If you've got a napkin sketch and you come in and say, hey, will you write me a check for this? Then no, probably not.
You haven't been listening to any of the episodes. Yeah. So productquickstart.com. Noah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Tiffany?
I got to say, I love it when we don't plan our shows.
Noah did a great job.
I have been planning this for hours.
See, Tiffany, I'm sorry. You need to... Noah did such a great job. He said, when we were talking about this show beforehand, he did not reveal that we talked about it about 10 minutes before coming on the air.
The truth of the matter
because he's been so busy and you've been so busy and I've been so busy.
I always talk about how multifaceted this industry is and how you could talk and talk and talk about it, but it's true. I mean, there's so many different
aspects that you should not have
brought
up.
I knew Noah would be full of good information. That's why we didn't plan.
Don't change the subject.
I'm usually full of something.
All right, Tiffany, how do people get in touch with you? Because I'm not going to give it now.
Okay. TiffanyKrumans.com or MomGenius.com.
All right. And why do they need to get a hold of you?
I don't know. They'll have to tell me, won't they?
There is a contact us.
That is a loaded question.
Yeah. The other thing is there's a Facebook group, Product Genius with Tiffany Krumans. You can go on there and you can certainly talk about your business, but really what that place is for is to ask your questions, to engage in conversation with other product-based businesses, not pitch to them, but use it as a community where we can have conversation and we can help each other out. And when that happens on that group, that's really cool.
I'd like to ask the people that I've connected with on LinkedIn, which is a much larger group of people, to join that group if they are on Facebook, because that would be the perfect place to have some of the conversations that they ask me on LinkedIn where Noah might not be engaged in that conversation.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Tiffany Krumans has a LinkedIn project she needs to get involved in, asking all of her LinkedIn contacts to go to Facebook. The other thing they can do is you guys can all become subscribers to this show, catch all the other episodes, listen to our past archives. You'll learn some things. You'll have a little fun. You'll laugh a little bit. But most importantly, we want to help you develop your product-based business. We want to help you. We know that you're not a genius of everything. So we have brought geniuses to the show to help you along with your journey. So for Tiffany Krumans and for Noah McNeely and for Jody Smith, the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with, I'm Stephen Julian, your slightly annoying co-host and independent financial advisor who can't tell you anything about my website. We'll catch you next time on Product Genius.